Hey, you agree with me sometimes.
Sometimes, you're right. You're right.
See, you agree with me on that.
Yeah. Kaiser. We're agreeing more and more often. I don't know if I like that.
I think you're becoming more like me than I'm becoming more like you.
Ew. that is not an amalgamation either one of us want.
Yeah, just wait until you start watching Star Trek. It's going to happen.
Oh, God.
Also, I think it's funny that you had your name Queso, and it just comes up as Q.
That's where I am on most of everything else. So
you wouldn't be laughing if I told you what Q is a reference to.
See, I take it more as Q is a reference to James Bond. What I take more of.
There's also the Q continuum in Star Trek.
Oh my God.
Q is the antagonist in the first episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
All right, I'm quitting. I'm ending the podcast 20 episodes early. I'm out.
Wait, are we on episode 149?
No, I don't know where we're at this point. We're not. We have more than that to go, but we're getting
there. Sure. Yeah. Just let me know when we're getting close so I can start getting it, because I feel like we need to have the whole gang back and we got to do something.
Yep.
And I don't even think we necessarily, we can take some time off before that one too. It doesn't have to be like in succession. We just need to make sure that we keep track and, you know, put something together.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, blah, 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 blah. Are you going to introduce the episode?
Are we recording?
We've been live already for 2 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You even got the countdown and everything, man.
I did not see a countdown.
Oh, I got a countdown.
Okay, so we're definitely recording.
Yep.
Wow, look at that. We're getting our first surprise roll-in since we switched over to the new software.
Yeah.
Boy, I have no idea where... Anyway, yeah, sure, we'll introduce it. It's You Know the Drill with Sam and Rutz.
Sup?
And today, I don't know what the topic is. We didn't even talk about... I know that, like, last week you had a couple topics, and one of them I was like, oh yeah, I really like that one. The other one, I actually forgot what the other one was.
Okay, well then, do you want to start with the one that you actually, like, enjoyed? Because that one you can actually kind of contribute to.
Let's start with the other one. Let's make it a total mystery. Throw me off.
All right.
Totally unprepared.
So I was planning on making a bunch of other, you know, topics, as I sometimes do.
That's very season two of you.
Yeah, right? Like, I normally will come in with, like, hey, I have, like, one idea, but we normally do batches in twos, right?
We're both kind of phoning in at this point. Well, I've always been phoning it in.
No.
All right, we're not. We've got producers now.
Hell yeah. It only took us 145 episodes, but now we've got producers.
Didn't your sister want to be a producer or something at one point?
Yeah, but then she became like a Hispanic mom.
Hmm.
That's not how I wanted to word that, but yeah, now she sits at home with her cats and works with... I'm trying to, like, make this not sound bad, because, like, she works with drugs, in a sense, at a clinic.
Oh, is this for animals? Like, an animal clinic?
No. She works at, like, some kind of health clinic. I'm not exactly 100% sure what she does.
Okay. Sounds like a good gig.
Yeah, she enjoys it. And, yeah, she hangs out at home, you know, with all of her animals. She's just, like, growing, like, a commune of animals, so...
That's cool. Respect that.
She doesn't have time for me.
So what? What's okay? What's this topic? Tell us about this topic. Mm.
So,
remind me.
Yeah, we had talked about this roughly with all of the absurd, like, game shows and things that are coming around. You know, using Squid Game as a basis, I wanted to see if we could make our own
game show. Oh shit! That's right. I was gonna watch episodes and I didn't, so yeah, I'm really ill prepared for this one,
which is perfect.
Okay, good.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know what Squid Game is, like Sam,
it's like Super Smash TV.
Yeah, it's very... so it's Super Smash TV, but Korean, and people die. Okay, well, a lot more people die in this show than in Super Smash TV.
Have you ever seen Super Smash TV? Have you ever played it?
I've never played it.
Okay. You're in a room just gunning down people, and it's like hordes in every stage. There's no way.
Okay. Take back what I just said. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people die in the show, not like Smash TV.
Yeah.
Okay. Essentially, what in the basis of the show is, you meet a suspicious man, right, out in the wild, and he challenges you to a game. It's a Korean like base game, because obviously since it's Korean, all the games are based off of like popular childhood games, right?
Right.
And so some of them are more Korean specific. So like in this case, essentially, I think it's called like Dogun or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves like someone throws down like a piece of paper on the ground, like a, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's like a, it's like this, just like this little, like, basically you throw something on the ground and you're, oh, it's like Poggers, I think is what it is.
Poggers? You mean Pogs?
No, there's a game, I can't remember what it's called. Okay, regardless, okay. It's not that important to the story. Basically, this guy throws something on the ground, and your job is to throw the same thing at the ground to make it his flip over. And if you get it and that does it, you win an invite, or you win money, and then you can keep winning your money. Like, it could be $10,000, $20,000, whatever, right? And that's supposed to get you hooked, right? Now you have a chance to earn all this money. And I believe if you, once you lose, he then will invite you to the Squid Game, where you just get this, like, suspicious letter to go and meet up at this place, and then you're basically chloroformed and kidnapped.
Okay.
So they take 456 people to an island, and they're forced to play childhood games for money, okay? For example, the most infamous one is the first one, which is Red Light, Green Light. Okay. And essentially,
you're not running, from the show, but from life.
Yeah, well, you have this big, long field that you have to run across, and there's a giant robotic, essentially like a Korean China doll. Mm-hmm. And when it says red light and you stop, it will turn around and scan the crowd. And if it catches you, any kind of movement or anything, it triggers a sniper, and a sniper will shoot you and kill you.
Okay. And do they know that going in, or is it just like...
They definitely say that there's going to be a risk, right? They'll say, are you like prepared to risk your life and death and all that kind of situation?
But they don't. But they're not thinking like it's going to be like that.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. There's also, I forget the name of it, but there is a Mario Party game based on Red Light, Green Light from Mario Party 2, where like you're in barrels. Did you ever play Mario Party?
Oh hell yeah! And Mario Party 2 is the best one.
Oh nice. We should. Well, no, you don't have a Switch. When you come visit, we should play some Mario Party. Get some pizza. Proper Mario Party. Anyway.
Hell yeah.
And you should get a Switch so we can play each other online. But anyway. So you remember the one where like you're in the barrels and it may be like hide and sneak, I think is what it's called.
That seems right.
So they, you're in the barrels and you're kind of walking toward the sleeping chain chops. And then randomly you'll hear a thing, like the bubble will pop and it looks back. And if there's any movement, it'll come and grab you and, you know, throw you or something. I don't remember. But they actually included that in Mario Party Superstars for Nintendo Switch. And okay. one of the things that kind of disappoints me about that version of it, great game, by the way. I love Superstars. They need to do some DLC and create new maps and new minigames. It desperately needs more maps. Yeah, is in the N64 version, there was always, I always thought it was really funny where, like, you know, you'd be making your movement and then like the animation would kind of freeze as soon as, so even if you hadn't fully stopped, that sometimes it would have this like weird in-between frame where like your head was like going into the barrel, but because of the way it was animating, your head was kind of like skinny and like going inside, and it just, it looked really funny. And they didn't bring that back for the they changed it for the remake, and that's they just had it like, you know, if you don't fully submerge and your head's fully sticking out or something. It's kind of a bummer.
How dare they ruin the quirk of that game? How dare
they? Seriously.
Oh god. Okay. So yeah, there's a series of games where they start whittling down people, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously it gets down to, you know, like 1v1, down to a titular Squid Game, which is a popular Korean like childhood playground game, essentially.
Sure.
And again, like, not all of them are like Korean. There are some that are a little more familiar, right? Like, they have a series of marbles, which I think is interesting because it's to shatter trust. That particular game is designed to like shatter the trust among the competitors that are still around, right? Because sure. They're told to pair up and they're not told why. And then they're each handled 10 marbles and they go, okay, you're playing against your partner. You guys decide in a game of how you want to distribute these marbles, right? Mm-hmm, and whoever gets 20 marbles is the one who gets to stay alive, basically.
Sure.
And so it's a really like, that's like the heartbeat moment of the show, I guess you could say.
Right.
But then there's also like the most popular one that even went around online. I think it's a really cool idea. It's not something I'm familiar with, but there's a very popular Korean childhood cookie. Okay. It's called a dalgona, or it's a dalgona. Mm-hmm. It's like a thin honey cookie. And they each have like designs in them, you know, like it's like a triangle or a star or an umbrella. And I think a circle is the other one. And so there, the game is, you have to take a needle and you have to cut out the symbol without breaking the cookie.
There's also a Mario Party game kind of like that. Is Mario Party just Squid Games?
You know what? It's very well possible.
There's your podcast title, by the way.
God, okay. All right.
It's not like bad. It's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
That was a great one, too. Crazy Cutters. It's in Mario Party 1 and 2. And yeah, that, I'm pretty good at that one. But anyway, I'm pretty good at Mario Party in general. But that should, you know what? We need to get sued by Nintendo and make a Squid Games version of Mario Party.
I'm actually down. Like, just a hyper violent Mario Party game. I'm down.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so down. Okay, well, regardless,
you
know, Squid Game was a huge hit, right? And so all of the, we've seen like an onslaught of, you know, new, weird, wacky game show series coming out because of it. Hell, even, you know, I think we talked about it when they announced it. Netflix made a Squid Game series and they're in the process of making a second season of it, where they made an American version of Squid Game, obviously not where people got killed, but like a Yeah, so they did. And that's kind of what sparked the idea for the show. Because
Has it come out yet then?
It has already come out. The first season has already come out, yes.
When? Because I haven't heard anything about this. Squid Games was a huge, obviously huge hit.
I would say in the last like 3 months. I think it wrapped up around early this year or late last year.
Why would they make an American version if the Korean version's already wildly successful and it's been, you know, featured on
because
Netflix
they,
worldwide?
Because they, well, I think it is also still Netflix's biggest selling like overseas property, right? Like that's the most streamed show in Netflix.
I guess they're just thinking, oh, here's a way to capitalize on this. I guess I answer my own question. It's partly.
Because instead of making it like, because the, you know, if anything, the Korean show, right, is much more of a drama than it is, you know, an actual like game show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Netflix version is an actual game show.
Okay, so it's like, here's another take.
Yeah, so like they got 456 people from around the country and they put them in a game show. And there was the drama of like being filled because a good part of the story is what happens in between the games, right? Because they're, you know, kept in captivity.
And this is the original.
Yeah. Well, it's also in the show, like in the American version as well, but much more in the show because, like, for example, at night
when you say in the show, like they're both shows.
Okay, in the Korean version, yes, there's a lot more of the drama that's built up in the actual story, in between the games, right?
Right.
Because, like, for example, lights go out, and you can get killed in the middle of the night, and they just count it.
Okay.
And there's a weird satisfactory moment, right? And they do this in the American version as well, but obviously not when someone dies, but when someone's eliminated, mm-hmm. where basically they just count out and say, so-and-so's been eliminated, right? They either drag the body off or, you know, take them off the set or whatever. And every time someone is eliminated, it will trigger how much money that they have accumulated to the pot, because to remind everyone of how much, you know, what they're here for, right? They have a big ass floating pig, okay, that's at the very top of the dormitory, and they drop money into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously in the Korean version it's won, in the American version it's USD, but every time, you know, it's just to re-incentivize. And so what was interesting is that when the Americans made the show, right, they're like, how can we build, you know, that kind of tension, right, in between the games, because obviously we're not killing people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they have tasks to do, like they have chores to do, you know, they have to clean things, they have to help,
like Mario 64, they have their, you know, it's a what do they call it, they call those kind of, it's what is that genre called? The fetch quest games?
Kind of. Yeah. Kind of. I guess you could say that's what it is. But like they'll go, okay, so and so, like I think the first one that happens is like they take this guy and a girl and they have to go into the kitchen and they're helping make dinner, right? By like cutting up vegetables and
things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they're pulled aside and they're told, hey, all right, you guys have to decide on to eliminate someone, right?
Sure.
And if you guys both can't agree, then you're both eliminated kind of situation.
Right.
A very popular one is they bring in a, like an old style telephone, right? And there's this doctor who, you know, is like trying to like, you know, be the best at the game, right?
Yeah.
And so they bring in this telephone, the telephone rings, and he answers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the first time, I think he's given, like, the power of choice to eliminate someone, right?
Right.
And so he eliminates someone people love, you know, so he immediately, like, the whole crowd immediately turns on him. And mm-hmm. so then the phone rings again, and he's like, I'm going to do it again, right? He's like, he's, like, standing there waiting for that phone to ring. And the phone rings, and they'll go, okay. So now, you can't react, but you have 2 minutes to get someone else to take the phone from you. Otherwise, you're eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they kind of play. Like, they build that tension, right, in between each of the games. There are just, I wanted to bring up the episode because I'm like, I thought we could have fun kind of designing our own. Like, if this is something we were going to do, we could design our own, like, put in different games of how we'd like to treat and whittle down. Like, for example, one of the big ones, the big dramatic ones from the original Korean show is Tug of War. Okay.
Again, Mario Party 1.
Okay. Well, Tug of War was way before Mario Party, but yes.
I know, but is there one person wearing a Bowser suit where the rest of them have to?
No, it's pull two teams.
I actually, can I interject for a moment?
Go for it.
So I actually injured myself on that game. I'm sure some people are aware of like the whole Nintendo lawsuit because of the stick rotation on the N64.
Into your palm kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah. I was one of those dumb kids, and of I didn't know. Obviously, I was a kid, and I guess my parents didn't know, but I didn't know about the lawsuit and the fact that they were actually giving out these gloves, which I think are worth something. I totally could have gotten one of those gloves because I remember one time, I think I was staying at Disney World and I'd rent an N64 on Mario Party and my friend was with me and we were playing and it was three of those stick rotation games. And I was really determined to win each one. And I was really putting all my muscle into it. Did the first one, won that. Did the second one. I remember my hand was starting to get like a little blistered. And by the third one, the skin on the palm of my hand just ripped. And yeah, that sucked. But I did win all three of them. So I guess, you know,
you got what you wanted.
I guess there was bloodshed just like in Squid Games.
Oh jeez.
Actually, I don't think there was any bleeding. It was just a layer of skin.
Ripping up your palm is the equivalent of 450 people dying. Agreed.
Yeah.
Facts. Just straight facts. Oh my God. Okay. Well, so in Tug of War in the original series, right, it's whoever your two giant pillar stages and nothing in the middle, and if you lose you get pulled off the stage and you fall to your death. That's essentially
makes sense
how they do it. So of course,
how else would you do it,
right? Exactly. So interesting enough, which I do appreciate, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So the American version did not include Tug of War.
Okay.
Probably, honestly, because of budgetary reasons.
Probably because Nintendo would have sued them.
Yes, because they're afraid of Nintendo. Netflix is afraid of Nintendo. Yes, 100%. But, okay, they did a different way. And I actually like this game idea. Okay.
Sure.
And so I was trying to, while I was sitting here, I was trying to think of, like, what would be a team, like, each of the shows has, like, one team game, right? What would be a team game that would be like the big point of to be able to clear a lot of people, right? And so in my game, I was thinking it could be chess. The reason being, in the American version of the show, they recreate Battleship. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Each of the games is split. I think it's like teams of let's say 18 or 20, something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
And they designate one person as a captain and one person as a lieutenant. So it's those two people that have the choice of actually playing the game, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone else are the pawns of the ship, okay? And you're only eliminated if your ship is sunk. So, like, you could be hit, you know, 2-3 times, but if you're on the battleship or the aircraft carrier, you know, that's 4 and 5, you're still in the game as long as the ship isn't sunk. So,
okay.
I was like, that's actually a nifty idea. Like, I wouldn't say it's definitely not equal to Tug of War, right?
Yeah.
But they did a really good job of building up the drama for that episode. Like,
it's good replacement.
Yeah, I enjoyed it for an original replacement. So what I was thinking is, what if you did something like that, but with, like, chess, right? Designate one or two people to play chess against each other. And then each of the everyone else are pieces on the board, and if you're eliminated, then you're eliminated from the game.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. Yeah, because your fate is not up to you at all at that point.
Right. I mean, like, what other kind of like team based childhood game could do that? You know what I mean?
I wouldn't call chess a childhood game. I mean, sure, kids.
I mean, I played it as a kid, but
well, okay, you know,
this is an example.
You are a robot.
Yeah. Well, I was like, that's for some reason, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Like, I'm open to, like, I mean, I guess what? The only other one would be, I could see, like, Connect Four, maybe?
Yeah.
But that would involve, I don't know how you'd play that and make that interesting on, like, as a top-down grid kind of situation.
Or what about, like, a Don't Wake Daddy kind of thing, where it's, like, you, I don't know.
Well, I see, so, interesting enough, so, I'm... Because I've been accused as a podcast thief by you in the last few episodes.
I have?
Totally. One of the episodes, one of the other shows I listened to, had a similar episode like this, and they were talking about it. And Don't Wink Daddy was another like game that they thought would bring up, would make an interesting like Squid Game esque.
Oh no! Game. Now I'm the podcast thief.
It's like so when I'm sitting there thinking, okay, like you know what would be what I would do, because if I had all this money and power, I would go crazy with it, right? I would make the final game be a game of Mousetrap.
Okay.
Between like two, let's say, but I wouldn't make it go head to head. It'd be like 2 to 4 people. You know, I think that'd
sure,
be fine.
Sure, yeah.
But, yeah, I wanted to use this, like, we have a, you know, so I don't remember off the top of my head. I can't tell you how many games, I think it's 5 or 6 in each series, right? In the Korean and the American. So, what would be your... Not necessarily a tentpole, but like if you could design a series of games like this, what would you pick?
Super Mario Brothers.
Oh God.
No. Well,
just go through your list of Mario Party mini games. You'll get there.
Yeah. Well. Oh boy, that's. I always did like Mushroom Mix Up / Hexagon Heat. That was always a fun one.
you would okay.
Yeah. No. I'm trying to think of like classic board game type,
or hell, even I know a lot of people pulled like from games like Wipeout or like MXC, you know, those kind of shows. You could just brutalize the games that are on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking
because there's a lot. Like, there's a list. You know what I mean?
Operation. Just like, you know, the contestant
that would be a fun like end game, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like final game is you have to like
everyone partners up,
yeah, you have
to, and like one person again, it's like you just have to trust the other person knows what they're doing and performs an operation without killing you.
That's your equivalent of marbles. You have to have everyone has to pair up and have to complete an operation.
Yeah, like they implant some things in you and they got to be able to successfully remove them or something.
Rawr.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Good Lord. You all right there?
No. No, I'm fine.
Okay. I was just like...
My chair is squeaky.
It is very... That is the squeakiest squeak I've ever heard.
I know, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of it. I think it would help, too, if I'd seen the show.
It definitely would, but that's why I was like, oh, hey, you have all time right, to watch right. the show.
All right, let me...
Now that you can go in cold, I think it's still worth it.
I'm gonna try and think of some Mario Party games for this.
Okay.
So... Okay. I mean, I've already mentioned some that are... You could do the slot card derby. I always hated that one.
Oh God, yeah, screw that one.
It took me, well, exactly, that would be like the really torturous one everyone would hate. And like, you know, they would just, you know, if they went too fast, they just fall off the track or whatever. It took me a long time to figure that one out.
Yeah.
But now that I know, like, it's not as bad now, but I used to hate whenever that one came. Oh, Bowser's Big Blast, that would be a good, like, just totally chance-based game where, like, you have to, you know, you gotta pick a plunger and one of them could blow you up. Very yeah, gruesome, yeah. Very gory, perfect. That's one.
You need a visceral one, right? Like, the big one, and honestly, it's my favorite in both versions, right, is the glass bridge. So, I'm assuming there's a Mario Party
well,
equivalent
just, for no,
this.
That's, now I'm thinking of Fall Guys.
Well, so, it is definitely Fall Guys, but I'm assuming there's also a Mario Party equivalent
you've,
for this,
you've
right?
You've played Fall Guys, right?
Of course I have, yeah.
Isn't that cross-platform?
Yes, it is.
Well, it's hard to be in the same room as someone, though, I guess, right?
No, I mean, you just invite them to a party, and then you
well, let's play the same game. Let's play some Fall Guys one of these days. We all finally right. have a game we can play. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm down. I'll have to just remind me, and I'll reinstall it.
Yeah, definitely. I still have it. Look at that. This is a podcast first. We made plans to hang out on the podcast.
Oh, gross. okay. So, Glass Bridge, right? The idea is you have two pathways of glass, right?
Sure.
And I think it's like 18 panes, give or take, right? across the bridge. And one set is hardened, one set is not, on each version, right? On each slab.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so it's a, you have to pick one, jump on it. If in the Korean show, if you succeed, right, it's hardened, you land, you're fine. If you don't, you jump right through the glass, break it, fall to your death.
Yeah, yeah, this is a similar, there is a game that's very much like this I'm trying to think of, and I'm not sure if it actually is Fall Guys, but there's also, it reminds me of a Mario Party game from Mario Party 3 where...
I was hoping it would.
Yeah, it does. It's not quite the same, but it's like you've got... and this is, I think, one of the battle mini games, I believe. I may be wrong about that, but it's like you enter a room with a bunch of keys. I can't think of what it's called, but it's the four of you are running to grab the keys and unlock the doors, and there's only like three doors. And then... and you can punch each other for keys, and then you get into another room where there's only two doors. And
I remember loosely what the mini game that you're talking about. I do remember this one.
Yeah, and I feel like I don't know. There, yeah, it's I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Okay. Yeah. I will say so, and this may be a bit of a hot take, right? I do think the American version did this one better than the Korean version.
Oh, the glass bridge?
The glass bridge. Mainly because...
Yeah, but Mario Party did it best.
Yes, Mario Party obviously did it best. Nintendo does it best. However, there's a reason behind this, and I think it's just because of how the dice ended up falling, right? I do also recommend, if you have not seen, you know, either version, right? At least watch the behind the scenes of the American version. I think the psychology behind it's really interesting. But they talk about the glass bridge in particular because a theme throughout the show is they realize that a lot of the people who are playing, it's a lot more diplomatic, right, than the Korean version, because obviously you're not dying, you're just losing, right? And so this version, they decide to do is, okay, to limit the amount of people who have to make the choice, right? So, like, because essentially, you know, let's say the first person decides to jump, right? And they land, and they land on a good version, right?
Right.
They're still leading in front of the pack. So if they have to keep making that choice, right, until they fall and die, and then the next person can make the next choice. It's not like you don't have to, like... Not like one person can be on the bridge at one time, right? Mm-hmm. But every time you move up a panel, then someone can, you know, then the people know that it's safe behind you, and then they can move up one. Okay.
Okay.
So in the American version, what they decide is, okay, there's like 20 people left, and maybe a little bit more than that. But there's like five people that are quote unquote safe, right? Because there's the lack of panels. But everyone else is like, okay, if you drew the number that's like 1 through 16, right? What we're going to do is you have to make the choice to jump, right?
Right.
But we want to limit that choice so there's not one person or three people that are jumping all the way, and not everyone has to make that risk, right? They want to make it equal. Right. So if you jump one and you land it correctly, right? Then you're safe. You don't have to do it again. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, the next person behind you will overtake you, and then we'll make the choice to jump again, and then you can keep going. So this is a point of the show because one of the characters decides, she's like, I'm not going to do it. She's like, I'm not going to overtake him. And it ends up eliminating a fan favorite from the show. But then she does have to like redeem him, because then she's like the next one in line, right? Like, I think she gets like two safe jumps, right? And then she has to make that choice to, you know, so she's still forced into it anyway.
Sure.
But it was just interesting because they're like, we didn't expect that at all. Like, we didn't expect them to, like, want to work together on this. We figured, you know, there's $4.5 million on the line. They're like, why would anyone want to work together like this for that much money? I don't know. I think maybe you'd like the American version a little bit more because it kind of reminds that there is humanity in people. It's weird.
That's good. Yeah, I
it's
do.
Weird and hopeful. I don't know. But like, I would say, but there was, anyway, a tangent a little bit. The reason I think they do it better, right? is because the glass doesn't break in this one. Obviously, that would just, that's caused too much of a safety risk, right?
Right.
So there's a delayed gratification moment in the show, because what it is they use trapdoors instead. So they'll let them jump on it, and then they'll be like, oh, I'm safe for like 5 seconds, and then the trapdoor will open and then they'll fall. So there's that, like, it builds that tension in those, you know, delayed gratification moments. I'm like, I think that one just does it better in general because of that.
Gotcha. So it's a little more suspense.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, so they didn't do the glass because of safety, but they still have trap doors. How is that any safer? Is it just
they fall, you know, 10 feet into a pit of foam, you know, off screen.
Oh, gotcha. So it's just less of a fall is the main thing. Yeah, and I guess if it's a glass and it breaks, okay, that makes sense.
And they still keep the illusion, right, of them quote unquote falling to their death, because like anything that's safety or whatnot, right, is kept off screen. So they just fall into the
black and they're never seen again. So there's still death, but it's fake death for entertainment purposes.
Correct.
Gotcha. Have you ever seen Death Race 2000?
I have.
Okay.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because that's like the third podcast that you've brought up Death Race 2000 in some context.
Wait, that's the what?
It's like the third episode that you've brought that show up in context.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
It's a good show.
No, not a movie.
Sorry, it's a good movie. I weirdly like the Death Race movies.
I've only seen the original with Sylvester Stallone and David Carradine.
Yeah, I like the original, and then I like the remake. Didn't Statham? I think Statham did a remake. Like,
I need 10 to watch it. I was watching last week.
It wasn't terrible.
Last week, and this would be my rec if I was giving one.
All right, we'll give it.
You need to rec, but
I rec the last one.
Okay. Well, anyway, I watched The Meg.
Okay.
Have you seen that movie?
I know what it's about. It's not something that like piqued my interest at all.
It's actually really awesome, and I haven't seen a ton of Jason Statham movies, and yeah, he's great. And it's like one of those things where it's like, it's just kind of like you hear about him. It's like, yeah, I've seen a couple movies, whatever. It just kind of like occupies an unimportant space in your brain. But then just watching, I was like, oh man, Jason Statham is awesome. Like he's very like, you know, just he's likable. He's gruff and like he's gruff and likable. And like he's charming and just like a good action star. And the movie was just a good time. It was really interesting how they, it's like such a simple premise, but it was done very well. It's such a fun movie. I recommend that wholeheartedly. I had a blast watching that movie.
All right. I'll add it to the list.
You know what? I'll say.
I like Jason Statham. Like, you know, I think because he grew up, and I'll talk about this more in the next episode.
Yeah.
He grew up when I was like excited about action movies, right? So like, him in Transporter, that was a whole series,
and of course Crank.
Crank is my favorite of his because it's so unhinged, and yeah. it's like, hey, I have this weird idea for a movie. Let's just do lots of drugs and figure it out along the way.
Yeah,
that is how that movie is made, and it is great. Both of them are just so dumbly stupid, but they're such a good time.
Jason Statham is great, but you know what he's not?
He's not in Mario Party.
Well, that's true, but he's not the muscles from Brussels. What?
You're right. I can't pinch the bridge of my nose harder. But you're
what?
Right.
What does that mean? What?
No further comments, sir.
That's what they call him, okay?
I know. No further comments.
Hey, look, I like Jean-Claude Van Damme, all right?
I know. Believe me. If anyone's listened to this podcast series, they know of your fascination with the Claude.
Okay, I guess I don't remember.
And I'm I don't not know why I called him that. The Claude, that's weird.
Yeah, now I'm pinching the bridge of my nose.
Fair. 1,000% fair. Okay, well, so we've gone off the rails at this point. So the new premise, Squid Games is just Mario Party. That's all it is.
Nintendo and Netflix, I'm telling you, I know you're listening. So I'll give you this idea. Make Mario Party meets Squid Games. Let's see it. Either a game or a show or a movie.
I was gonna say, you know what? I don't think either. I think what they should do is make it an attraction at Nintendo World.
Oh boy.
I think that'd be more fun. Just saying.
That's a wreck for another episode.
Just saying. All right. Hope you all enjoyed this episode. Watch the Meg. that's his wreck. I watch it. I do recommend, if you haven't seen Squid Game, watch it. Watch both versions. Mm-hmm. I actually enjoyed the American version when it was airing, because they did air it like, I think they had a weird airing schedule. Like it was like one, like they released it in batches, not like one every week, but like two or three every, you know, week or something.
Oh yeah. Netflix did that with the part six of JoJo, where they did it in three batches. So I think that's maybe a newer thing they're experimenting with, or maybe they've always done it. I don't know.
Well, if you're talking, if you're talking anime syndication like that, they are doing things weekly now. Because like I'm watching a show, which I'll recommend as a second recommendation, I guess, that they are releasing it weekly, which is interesting for Netflix. I think they've been doing it for the last like two or three seasons, technically.
Yeah, but I don't watch
anime Netflix, like new anime on Netflix.
Normally. Netflix used to just do like would release everything all at once, right? I mean, I guess they still, because like wasn't Stranger Things the last season released in two parts?
Yeah, I think that's because it was in movie format almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So maybe that's
so
maybe
while
that's
it was two, while it was quote unquote two parts, it was each episode was like 2.5 hours. You know, something.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. No, you're right. But that was later, I think.
Yeah,
that was like the last few episodes. Yeah, I guess I do remember that now. I guess that's more of a shift that they're exploring. They're experimenting.
It could be.
Boy. When part five, it's crazy. When part five, I hope that they say, oh, this is like 5 years later, because the kids are all like in their 30s at this point.
Yeah, I think so. They pull an It almost and have them like go back kind of situation.
At this point, they might as well. I mean, I know they're not actually in their 30s, but it's like they all start, like they were all like 11 when the show started. And now they're adults. It's crazy. Like because the release schedule has been so like, you know, they keep. Stuff like that, you always have to do like 1 year after another, or else, you know, or else you got to say that many years has passed. You got to do that stuff in real time.
Right. Okay. Well, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Like, rate, share. You know what to do at this point. And we'll catch you next week.
Join the Discord before it's too late.
Yeah. Ciao, y'all.
Do, do, do.